Mookie's gone already, all right? He's traveling to another place. We love you guys. We're glad that you could come home. You didn't come home just to do this. You were on an assignment. But we are glad that you're here and that you took the time. And hey, my sermon for next Sunday's ready. So they're going to share with us today. And we want to let the Lord use them to bless you and to be encouraged as they knit their hearts closer together with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Excellent. I'm just going to rob this here. Well, not rob it. I'm going to borrow it for a bit. Just again.
Oh, there's a Shopkin up here.
A what?
A little Shopkin. I come to Canada every time and I learn something new, and here's a little toy. Do you know what Shopkins are? You should play with little kids more.
Oh. Well, her husband's a little kid.
It's true. Oh, Lego's thing of the past. Shopkins are the up and coming. Okay, sorry.
I just want to again say thank you for the opportunity. And amazing through the worship how we, at least for me this morning, the message brought across to me was freedom and grace and just an openness. And just a few weeks ago, we were talking with a pastor from a church when we were down in the States. And he said how much we've lost. In the essence, how much we've lost our freedom in who we are because we live a life of do's and don'ts, and we live a life of righteousness, of doing things right, which isn't bad. But what we lose sight of is truth. And what does truth do for us? The Bible tells us that truth sets us free. Mm-hmm. And that freedom that we sang about this morning is awesome. And so it's just, for me, was great. Thank you for whoever chose the songs and just administered to me. So that was... That was really good. Like was said, my name is Scott. This is Patsy. We are missionaries in Brazil. We've been there for almost 19 years, so a long time, older than some of you over there. And
we hardly look 19. I know. But yeah, it's
anyways,
been a long time.
I'll just set things straight. The hecklers can, they're not even here, so that's good. They're off in the back corner somewhere. Yeah. And just so that we appreciate the opportunity we have to share here. We appreciate the support that we get from this church. Mm-hmm. And so we've been there for 19 years. We work with camp ministry in various forms. And we'll share just a little bit about that this morning. But I want to introduce to you our family. Caleb is sitting beside my mom over there. Caleb just graduated from Steinbeck Bible College in the spring. And so he's been living in Canada for 3 years now. And a great experience for us to see him grow and to see him flourish here in Canada. We are here this time of the year to bring Mookie back, our second son, who actually right now at this point is at a retreat called Reboot for missionary kids. He's in Calgary right as we speak with 21 other missionary kids that have come from all over the world that are trying to reintegrate into their country, their passport country. And they may not necessarily have lived there at any point in their life. And so if you remember Mookie this week, just as he's trying to find himself here in the Canadian culture, one thing we did see yesterday on Facebook was that there was a picture of him and another guy laughing at this retreat. One of the leaders had posted it and said, only in an MK context would you see something like this. For those of you that know Adventure and Odyssey, these two guys, Mookie and his friend there, were talking, obviously, about Adventures in Odyssey, and they said, well, in episode 699, there's a place that it says, oh, Eugene, somebody spilled a milkshake on some sort of display. I don't even remember all the words. And the guy said, I know that. And Mookie said, that was me. He said, I spoke those words. I got to be recorded on Adventures in Odyssey. And these two guys knew that. A line in episode 699 of Adventures in Odyssey. So only missionary kids, that's what we can
see. Michelle Phoenix, the person who posted it, put hashtag I love MKs, hashtag only at Reboot. And it's true.
So so we are now leaving Samuel here in Canada as well. He's going to be studying at Steinbeck Bible College. The two boys are setting up an apartment in Steinbeck. So that's Good for them. Go,
they
guys.
They managed to get all their furniture for less than $200, so we're super pumped about that.
And we have the privilege of taking Hannah back with us to Brazil, so we're looking forward to that. I hope she is too. And so our house is going to be a little smaller. Our house is going to be the same size, but the number of people is going to be a little bit less.
Yeah.
And so we're looking forward to that as we move on.
Yeah. All right, this morning we want to take you on maybe a little journey through God's Word, looking at some of the different characters whom we have resonated with over the years. And I'm sure you've done this from time to time as well. But we like to call it the Bible or God's Word. I like to call it God's story. And when I, as a homeschooling mom, as I teach history, I like to separate that and say, his story. I don't like to separate what was biblical history and what was school history. I think God wrote this amazing story, and he's still writing it today. He's writing your story, and he's writing my story. And so this morning, we want to look at Abram, Moses, Noah, Mary, Joshua and Caleb, very briefly, and we want to tell you why it is that we resonate with their stories. Scott, why don't you start with Abram?
Well, actually, why Abram resonates with us is that 20 years ago, we just felt that we needed to do something in our lives, make a change. And basically, we opened up our, in Portuguese, we say we opened up our hands. We let go of the control that we had in our lives, or we tried to, and we just said, God, wherever it is that you lead. And so we opened up that door, and God said, I'm calling you. I've called you, but I'm not sure where I'm going to send you yet. And so that same way...
Well, he was sure. We weren't sure.
No, he was, but we weren't sure, you know. And the same way that Abram was called, God called him out and said, I'm calling you out to a place that I will show you. And so at that point, when we got called out, we felt too like, okay, God, we're in your hands, but you lead us. And we'll go wherever you lead. And that led to Brazil.
Mm-hmm. At that time that God finally directed us to Brazil, I felt a really big connection with young Mary, the mother of Jesus. And of course, Mookie loves when I tell this story because it was Mookie in my womb at the time. And he always says, you always refer to me as Jesus. I'm like, no, let's get that straight. You're Mookie and he's Jesus. But Mary was a young pregnant mom going to a new country or a new place for her that was a distance for her, a long journey. And she knew that the child in her womb had a purpose. She didn't know exactly how that was all going to play out, but she knew that the child in her womb had a purpose. And at that time, I was pregnant with Mookie, and we got the call from a lawyer in Brazil. We had been denied 3 times our visas to get into Brazil. And I know Brazilians always think it's super easy to get into Brazil. It's not super easy not to live there, which is why they have such a low immigrant population. But anyway, we got this call from a lawyer in Brazil, and he said, the only way you guys are going to be able to live in Brazil is if you come pregnant on a tourist visa, you have the baby in Brazil, and that way, you know, we can't kick him out because he'll be a Brazilian citizen, and then you can, through his birth, you know, get your visas, which is what played out in the end. And so Mookie had a very specific purpose in our lives. And, of course, he has held that over our heads for 18 years. But at that moment, and actually later on, about 6 years ago, I sat down and I wrote the first chapter of a book I'm writing. It's the only chapter I've written so far, but it's the first chapter. I have 53 chapter title names I haven't written yet.
So far.
But.
There could be more.
I did write and try to describe my feelings as a young mom going overseas to a country, dealing with immigration, dealing with all these things, just as young Mary did.
Another person that right at this point, well, maybe for the last few years, has really resonated for me well, for us as a ministry, but for me, because I maybe more the upfront guy dealing with different things, is the story of Noah. And God said to Noah, I want you to build an ark. It hadn't even rained until that point, right? And Noah said, an ark? Well, what am I supposed to do? And so God told him to do something, and he obeyed. And he didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know, never seen rain before, but I'm supposed to build this huge, big boat, and what's going to happen with it? And I've got to put animals on it, and I've got to do all these things, but I have no idea why. And I don't know what I'm going to come up against, and all the people that came up against him. And so I'm going to read you a story. Noah built the ark today. And so at times we feel like this, and I'll explain a little bit later. But God said to Noah, I'm going to make it rain until the earth is covered with water and all the evil is destroyed. I want you to build an ark and save two of each animal species. Here are the blueprints for the ark. Many years passed, and the skies began to cloud, and rain began to fall, and Noah sat in his front yard weeping. Why haven't you built the ark? Asked the Lord. I did my best, replied Noah, but so many things kept happening. The blueprints you gave me for the ark didn't meet the city's code, so I had to change them. Then the city said I was violating zoning ordinances by building the ark in my front yard. So I had to get a variance. Then the Forest Service required tree cutting permits. Then the EPA, I guess that's an American thing of some sort, requested an environmental impact statement concerning the flood. And the Army Corps of Engineers wanted a map of the proposed flood plan. An animal rights group sued me when I tried to gather all of the animals by two, followed closely by the gay rights group, who were upset because I was only taking male and female. Then the state fined me because the animals didn't get their vaccination shots. Then the Humane Society took all the animals because they weren't licensed and registered. Of course, the Equal Opportunity Commission jumping in, claiming I wasn't hiring enough minorities. The Coast Guard refused to let me on the waters because the ark was not marked by an identification number. And to top it all off, the IRS decided to seize all my assets, claiming I was leaving the country. Oh, I was trying to avoid taxes by leaving the country. I'm sorry, Lord, but I can't finish the ark for at least 5 more years. Suddenly the rain stopped, the skies cleared, and the sun began to shine. Lord, does this mean you're not going to devastate the earth? Why should I, said the Lord. Seems to me the state of the federal governments are doing a great job of it already. Now, all humor put aside in that, we're on a major building project at Quest. And for those of you that have seen that, John and Val have been there, Dwayne and Darlene have been there. I don't think anyone else has seen the building project with their eyes. Ryan and Selena.
Not the building.
And Rochelle.
Yeah.
Anyways, so those of you that have been there, we come up against all kinds of things. We're still waiting to cut down 18 trees.
Because one fell down. It used to be 19.
Okay, so yeah. 19 trees that have nothing to do with where we're building. But we want to widen our road enough to put a truck through. But the environmental people say we can't cut down the trees till we approve it. And they have to come in. It's been almost 4 years. So we're waiting for that. And then, like all kinds of other little things. Well, if we don't do this, then we have to do that. And if we build this big, then we have to add sprinkler systems. But if we leave it 5 square feet less, we don't have to put sprinkler systems.
And just so you know, Mark Redekop has had a lot of fun figuring out that footage because he's a math guy. I love math people. They're great.
So just the unknown and the
bureaucracy.
The bureaucracy has become huge for us.
Another person that we have felt resonated with is Moses. And I'd like you to open up with me now in your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 36. Exodus chapter 36. And I'm Val. Are Mark and Jess hearing me? Oh, good. Good morning, guys. Yes, we're missing you too. In Exodus chapter 36, verse 2, Moses has been ordered by God at this point to build the tent of meeting or the tabernacle. And so he has summoned together skilled people. In verse 2, it says, every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. And we Scott and Patsy and Carol and our Quest board, we want to say a huge thank you to the Dalmany Bible Church, because you have been a huge part of sending Mark and Jessica to be with us in Brazil. And we've already told them this, but for Scott and I, for our team, Mark and Jessica's arrival was like a light at the end of the tunnel. For those of you who know our team, we had just sent my brother Dwayne and his wife Shannon back to Canada in June of last year, and it left such a huge hole. But when we knew that Mark and Jessica were coming, and our team was going to be a little bit bigger again, it just was such a relief to us. Now we recognize that Mark and Jessica are there for a very specific timeline, but that's the beauty of it. Mark has the desire and the energy, may I add, to build this building with us. And Jessica has a completely different set of skills, and she has done an amazing job of putting together our fundraising project and also building our website, our brand new website. These are things that Scott and I could not do in a million years by ourselves.
Well, a million years.
Well, no, Scott. I think I'm not far off there. And so when Moses had all these skilled laborers in the right roles around him, it was amazing the work that was accomplished. And that's how we feel about Mark and Jessica. We are just so grateful for the timing of their arrival. God had that all planned, and we know that. But for the timing of their arrival and for the patience that they've had, and for the way they have embraced the work projects there.
Oh, and yeah.
Anyway, so Scott's going to show you a little bit of what Jessica's been doing. I shouldn't say just Jessica, because Mark has been helping her with coding and all that stuff. I know, Mark. But we're going to show you a little bit of what we're doing. And we are really unveiling this for the first time right now. So with Colton's help, we are going to try to show you the website that we are launching this morning, really. We haven't showed this to anybody yet.
Yes. I think we were able to put in a folder in every mailbox. So if you do not have it with you now, you can pick it up afterwards. And it's basically what you're seeing on the screen at this point. So we just want to... This is our project. And let's just work through it. First of all, I want to show, if you guys can see it, in the middle of the screen, there's a little Q with a wing. Up on
the top.
Right at the top, above the second A. That's our new Quest symbol. What we're trying to do with this project and with the building is to take Quest away from us as people. People look at Quest, because we're an itinerant ministry, people say, oh, we have Quest with us, or we're Scott and Patsy, and we're our team, and we are part of a ministry called Quest, but we want to have people say Quest as a location. Like here, when you guys, oh, let's go to Kadesh, let's go to Ranger. You're not talking about Greg as the director of Ranger. You're talking about a place up the road, right? So we want people to associate Quest with a place. And so that's why we've changed the symbol a little bit to give that little idea and implemented a leaf and a wing into that to bring about the nature and what represents or what our property represents. The name of our building, of this first building, is called the Panapana. And for those of you Mennonites, that's Panapana. No, that's totally off the topic. But Panapana is an indigenous Brazilian term referring to a flock of butterflies that migrate in particular seasons, forming beautiful clouds as they do so. And on the front of this folder, and as you see there, there is a butterfly called the blue morph, and it is one of the largest butterflies in the world. It is only present in 3 countries, Brazil being one of them, and only in specific areas in Brazil, and we have that specific butterfly on our land. And it's beautiful. It's big, like it opens up like almost like this, and the blue part on the inside is just amazing.
It's iridescent, and it's a slow flyer, so you see it for a long ways. Beautiful.
So, Colton, could you just go up a little bit? I want to take you through what this project is going to be looking like. We want to go through the walkthrough at this point. There is I keep going right there. Just before you start that, Colton, this took hours of work. We want to thank Mookie specifically for the many hours. He actually finished his high school at the end of December of last year, and he had basically a semester off, and we said, we have a project for you. And so he put this whole thing together, and it took him huge amounts of hours. But this is basically our goal on putting this building together. So, Colton,
it's,
just...
It's a 3D walkthrough, so you're going to actually walk through our building as we imagine it to be.
So just watch as we go through this.
And I'm really excited to show you our very first building. Welcome to the Panapana. Panapana is an indigenous word given to a butterfly habitat. Here at Quest, we have a large variety of stunning butterflies featuring the rare blue morpho, which is one of the largest butterflies in the world. For this reason, we've decided to call this first and central building the Panapana. Our dream is to see this building busy with children, teens, and adults fluttering around and eventually taking flight. This first room is our dining hall. We have room to seat 150 people around inviting round tables. The two outer walls of glass allow our guests to appreciate all our Creator has made while they dine on delicious, healthy food made from scratch. Just off the dining hall, we enter into the kitchen. We have a main area for salad prep, as well as a separate island for cooking, a large pantry, a dish pit, a laundry room, and a barbecue area wrap up this fantastically bright and cheerful place, a central point at any camp. Moving across the dining hall, we come to the canteen, where we will sell a selection of treats as well as Quest clothing and souvenirs. Moving outside the lower level, we will take these stairs up to the second floor of the Panapana. As we walk along the side of the upper level of the building, we come upon an outdoor covered deck that is just over 1,100 square feet. This multi-purpose deck will house our games room, including ping pong and carpet ball tables. At one end of the deck, we have developed a sitting area for people to enjoy the incredible valley view while drinking chimarrón and deepening their relationships. In the center of the deck, the Panapana houses a sturdy 9-meter-wide glass wall which runs on tracks and can be opened up to enlarge our chapel area. The inner chapel holds up to 75 guests, expanding to 132 when the glass wall is opened up. On both sides of the chapel, there are doors that open up to a corridor which leads to 2 bedrooms. Each bedroom holds a maximum of 6 bunk beds, housing 12 people per room. Shelving units are provided for each camper to use for personal items. Each corridor has outside access, one on either side of the upper level. Returning to the chapel, our guests will access clean, roomy bathrooms, including 4 sinks with mirrors, 4 toilet stalls, and 4 showers. Each bathroom has an outside entrance leading to the ground level of the second floor of the building. These bathrooms will also be used during school day camps. We are super excited with the potential that this building will give us. Thank you very much for going on this tour with me. I hope to be able to do the same tour in person in the future.
Thank you. That's great. And so that idea is where we want to get to. That's our ultimate goal in having this building finished so that we can, on this summer, on our summer, so January of 2018, be able to run our summer camp using this building as our main building and then using tents and other facilities to house people as well. So that's what we're looking for. Anyways, that's just great. And just a side note, when you come, And I use the word when because the doors are open to anyone that would like to come and visit. If you want to take a walk through the bush in various areas, if you find a golf ball, you get a special prize. There's been a few golf balls shot into the bush, and so they're there. One was found, actually.
When Duane and Darlene were out, we thought, well, we should do something fun and unique. And so I think it was 7 golf balls, right? Yeah. So one's been found. So we still have 6 golf balls, like, spread out on our camp. And we have this little thing that we're going to set up. And as the campers find them eventually, we're going to have, like, little gifts for whoever finds them. So whoever comes and has a unique idea, just bring it along and we'll incorporate it into Quest culture.
So what Colton's going to be doing now is opening up the folder which you guys have, if you have it. If not, I said it, we left the one in there. So go ahead, Colton, you can open it up for us. Our goal to finish this building, we need funds, obviously, and we need help in doing that. So if you run through it, we have 4 phases, actually, but 3 phases in which we need to raise funds. The first phase is already finished. We've funded the phase. We haven't finished building it all, but we have the funds to do that. Our second phase, we're looking to raise $35,000 to $35,000 here in Canada, as well as raise 35,000 reais in Brazil. And so with the exchange, that comes out to the total that you see in the folder of 48,000 Canadian. But that's our goal, to be able to close up the building, both with walls and with windows, and put a proper roof on it. So then what we can do then is begin to work inside, rain or shine, to finish that off. So we're hoping to be able to do that while we're in Canada now, raise this $35,000. And we have already started our fundraising in Brazil, and we've already been able to raise 15 of the 35,000 that our goal is there. And that is basically just through us as a team and through our board. So we haven't really hit any outside people yet, which we'll be doing when we get back. And so the potential is really huge to be able to do that. And so we want to try to have that. What our goal was, to try to kind of have equal amounts here and there to be able to close that up. So the 35,000 is what that's all about.
And this fundraising goal for us is until the end of this year. We'd really like to take advantage of the time that Mark is there with us, and to get that building as quickly as Brazilian standards allow, to get it going. So that is our phase 2. But next year, we're going to be looking at our phase 3, which is our largest phase goal. And that is $85,000 Canadian dollars. That is our phase 3. That is going to be interior and finishing. So we are talking building complete with bunk beds, tables, chairs, everything. If we could raise this money in the next 2 years, then our goal for camp in January of 2018 would be a possibility. We always say, you know, human goals, God guides the steps. So, you know, that's our plans. But we'll see what God's going to do. He has blown us away so many times with generosity, both from Canadians and from Brazilians. And so we're really actually excited to see how these funds are going to be coming in. Like I said, this is the first time we're showing this to anybody, so it's sort of fun. We had talked to one couple previously, and they gave $1,000, so we already have our first $1,000 gift for the funds for phase 2.
Oh,
the Shopkin. Okay, it's okay. Anyway, so that's been an amazing journey for us.
And so, yeah, so what Pastor was saying, what we need with that are your prayers specifically, finances. God knows where that's coming from. And work teams. If there is we are more than welcoming you to our home, and we'd love to have you out there. So whenever that works.
To finish this section in Exodus, just dropping down a few verses, when Moses, the people continued to bring free will offerings morning after morning to help with the building of the tabernacle. And in verse 4, it says, "So all the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left their work and said to Moses, 'The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done.' Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: 'No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. That's our prayer, guys. That's our prayer. I will tell you, as missionaries out on the field, we minister pretty much weekly at retreats, and we speak a lot. So we have that. And then we're trying to work on this building project at the same time, and fundraising. So all of these things are really full-time jobs. And for us to balance this all is a really full plate, especially for Scott. So we are praying that you will have generous spirits. Not only you, I mean everyone we're going to talk to. We're just going to pray that there will be a generosity, and that this fundraising campaign would not be a weight on us. So if you feel, pray about it. Pray about it. If it's a work team, if you would like to come out next year and build bunk beds, you know, like whatever you can do, think about it and pray about it and see what can be my role in it, because you are our partners, right? Scott and I do not have money. There is just no way in the world we could ever finance something like this, which makes it all the more fun to be a part of. Because we have seen God do amazing, amazing things in the past. And as we look back on our history of this camp, the land, we wanted to pay for it with Canadian money. So Scott came to Canada and we raised money to buy the land. Then we found out, because of laws in Canada and Brazil, we could not use Canadian money to buy the land. So we started raising money in Brazil, and God gave us the money in Brazil, from Brazil, to buy the land, which then left that money that we had raised for the land to be able to do our first phase of this project. And now we're coming to the end of that, and now we really need for you guys to come on board and to help us out with this second phase. Okay, Joshua and Caleb are the last ones we want to talk about today, because they went out and spied out new territory. And they came back and they said, hard, yes, giants, absolutely, but we can do this. And I know that in different moments of our lives, different moments of your lives, you're in a big moment right now of new territory coming up. God gives us new goals and new territory to work with. And I just want to touch on a couple that Quest has been presented with just recently. One of the things is that we are being invited further and further away in Brazil to minister. So our traveling is becoming larger distances. So you can pray for that. We just had an opportunity come up with that for next year, for Scott to speak at a men's retreat.
We've kind of been off the grid for a week. We were out of internet, and I walked by somewhere, and there was Wi-Fi, and all of a sudden, my phone is just like going crazy. And there's an invitation from a pastor where I've already confirmed I'm going to be speaking at a men's retreat. And he says, can you stay on another week? Because we're going to be doing a teen retreat the next weekend. And we're going to do some training during the week. And can you give me those, like that confirmation now? That's for the first weekend of July of next year. And that's taking me up north of Rio. So actually it's quite a distance. Our territory is expanding immensely.
Physically.
Yes.
And then God has given us an amazing partnership with a mission. It's actually a Lutheran mission. And to tell you the honest truth, I'm not even sure if the people who lead the mission are Christians, as in born-again believers. But they do believe in God. It's been an interesting relationship. They work with a neighborhood in Joinville, which is a city next to us. And this neighborhood is called Paradise Garden, okay? But it is not at all a Paradise Garden. It is the neighborhood in Joinville that has the most murders. It has the highest rate of prostitution.
Think of the worst area in Saskatoon that you could think of, and then you could probably multiply that by 100.
To give you an idea, this last year, or actually now, in 2016, there's a new report that came out, and it listed the 50 most dangerous cities in the world.
Violent cities.
Most violent, yeah, the most violent cities in the world. And of those 50 cities, 25 are Brazilian. Okay? The city we're going to be working in is not on that list. But if you, like, if I were to take you and drive you where we're going to be working, you'd be like, ooh, is that fully caged? Why is that fully caged? Right? Like, the playground that we'll be working on is this little caged-in section where the kids come in to play.
Actually, the whole property is in a fenced area. Roof, sides, the whole thing, the building that's in it, it's all in a cage.
Yeah. So we're going to be going every month. We're going to be spending a day with teenagers, not with the children. We're going to be spending time with the teenagers. We're going to be having opportunities to teach them life skills. So cooking, electrical. Mark is going to, you know, help with some of the building things, maybe dance. I don't know. It's a wide variety. We already have it all planned.
I'm not going to be teaching dance.
I think Jessica and Carol will have to teach dance. I'm not sure. So we have the Wednesdays. And then we have two opportunities in each of the years, because it's a two-year project contract with them. Each year we're going to have 2 days with the adolescents. And if their parents would come, they will be invited to come. And then we will talk about family issues and spend the whole day. It's going to be from 8 in the morning till 11 at night, and they want us to do a bonfire and to have a campy feeling, and we can invite any pastor we want to come and speak to the parents. So we have those 2 days, and then we have two opportunities for retreats just with the teenagers in 1 year. So we're going to have like 4 retreats with these kids in 2 years. We're going to develop a lot of relationship with these kids, which is the base of the gospel. Right, we want to love on these kids. We want to get to know them. We want to know what they struggle with, what they face on a day-to-day basis. But this is completely different than anything we've done up until now. And God has just blessed us with this new territory. And as this mission came together, they had a team-building day for their board, and they invited Quest to come and do the team-building with them. And we had an amazing day, and we're building relationships with very influential people in the area.
And out of that actually led to a couple of other opportunities to minister in their churches individually. So it's huge.
So if you sit down and you listen, you know, talk to some of the social workers and the kids that they deal with, and the choices that they have to make. And one of the social workers, with tears in her eyes, she said to me, I never know if the choice I'm making is right with these kids. If I choose to remove them from a home because they're being abused on a regular basis by a father, if I choose to remove them, I will never know how the other choice would have played out. I will only see playing out the choice that I will make. I have a lot of power in these kids' lives. So just pray for us. We're going to have a lot of contact. We need to evaluate the kids on a monthly basis, send this all into the government. It was our first opportunity to get a grant from the federal government in Brazil, and so we'll be starting that in March, and we are going to need your prayers for safety and just for a lot of love for these kids that are very unlovable at a lot of
There's a lot of.
And another really short new territory is we have a young man that's living with us, one of our summer staff members. We've removed him from a difficult situation at home. And if you could just pray for him, his name is Carlos. I don't know how long he'll be living with us. We are just helping him get up on his feet.
He's supported his family, just to give you a little bit of an idea. He's supported his family financially since he was 13 years old. His father is now in his 16th rehabilitation center for alcohol abuse, and his mother lives with one of his best friends from his teenage years, who was a year older than he was, and now his mother and this guy live together. And it's a huge mess. And so we've just taken him out of that and have brought him into our home to a healthy environment, and he's just flourishing. He is flourishing, and so we just want to encourage him, and that was just something that we've taken on our hearts to do that.
Yeah.
And just the whole idea, did you want to finish?
Yeah, that's fine.
The whole idea of Joshua and Caleb coming up against what they said, when they came back, they said, the land is awesome. But then a whole bunch of other people said, well, yeah, but there's giants and there's this and there's, we're coming up against so much. And sometimes we feel like, what are we coming up against? But then we remember that, you know, God's in control, and He will give us what He decides to, when He decides to. We're in a political and economic crisis in Brazil now that is incredible. Yesterday, I was just watching a little bit of the Olympics, and we were watching some beach volleyball, and the stands were like empty. There was nobody there, and I thought, I wonder if that has to do with the fact that they just don't have money to pay for tickets to even to go watch the Olympics. I don't know, but we're in a really crazy situation right now. We're waiting for the decision on impeachment to happen within the next month or so, and so there's just a whole lot of things going on, and so that to us seems a little bit daunting. Fear of unknown, what's going to happen with all of that? Just the unknown of the fundraising project that we're putting together. There's a lot of big things. But at the same time, we know that God will provide what He does. He will send us in to that promised land when He decides that things are ready to go. And so we just need to trust in that. And we often feel inadequate where we're at. Very often. And when we feel adequate, very shortly thereafter, something happens and we don't feel adequate anymore. God kind of puts us in our place. But I just want to end in reading Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 to 9. So let me find it here. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." And that's a prayer that we have for us in ministry, a prayer that I think we all should have. We all come against things. We all come up against giants or against fears. And all we need to do is trust. It sounds really simple, but it's really hard. And that's what we want to encourage you guys with today, just to trust the Lord wherever you're at and to embrace the grace and the freedom that we talked about and we sang about this morning. And again, we just want to thank you all for your support and just ask for your prayers as we continue to transition into a new time of life with only one child at home and two
I keep telling her she's the lucky one, right? Because we're going to get to do more stuff, right?
Nothing against you and Mookie, Caleb, but she is the best looking one of the three of you.
Oh, boy.
The prettiest anyways. And so just all of that, and just one other little explanation that I forgot to mention before. We are only here for a short time on this section of our journey because we've split up our furloughs or our home assignments in different ways now. We're going to be coming back every 2 years, but splitting that time a little bit differently. So this year, as we've come back, most of our time is in Manitoba and east, and we've come out here for a week to spend time with family. In 2 years, we'll be coming back, and most of our time will be here in Saskatchewan West, and then we'll be off in Manitoba for a very short time. So the next time we come, which is in 2 years, we'll have a whole lot more time here and a whole lot more time to visit and sit down and relax and chat and share where God is leading in our lives and in your lives together. So thank you again very much.
Thank you for sharing. I know it's short notice. It was from last Sunday till today, and we appreciate you being willing to share about your ministry. And the fact that this is all, we need to make sure this is clear. This is all because of Jesus and what He's done for us. He gave us His life, that we might share that life with others. The work that they're doing ultimately is drawing people to know Him. Let's close in our time in prayer, and we look forward to seeing you guys next week. So please stand with us as we close in prayer. Lord, what we have heard today reminds us that there is work to be done all over the place. And as Scott and Patsy and their family seek to honor their Savior by serving where they do in Schrader and beyond, grant them to understand and know his closeness and his love and his hope every day. Would you guide them in their steps and their time with their family to make it fruitful and encouraging? And for us here, Lord, with the service you've called us to, partnering with them, but also the work that we have before us, give us the mind of Christ to recognize that the people around us are people that you love, that you've given your life for. You long for them to know your hope. And so give us that impetus, even as we leave from here today, to not look at our job as tedious, to not look at our neighbors as annoying, to not look at our family members as frustrating, but as people in need of us to live out and share the hope that we have in Christ. Go with us. Let us be your light this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Don't leave right away. Grab a cup of coffee. And thanks again for showing up today.